Hi, everyone. Welcome to HR Sessions with
Holly Reeser
and Sydney Evans. Today, we are joined by a very special guest, and we're super geeked to have him here. We have Steve Brown with us. And Steve, I've been a fan of yours since my sophomore year of college. I read your book, HR on Purpose, in one of my HR classes. And from there, I've been hooked. I just love Steve's posts on LinkedIn, his books, speaking events. Just there's countless things that Steve does that I really look up to. So super, super honored to have you here. Steve has just a ton of experience and accomplishments. We'll talk more about it, but we can go ahead and just jump into it. We're not going to go into too much of the bio because that would probably take forever. But yeah, Steve, thank you so much, seriously, for being here. It's really fun to have you here.
Sydney and Holly, I too am geeked to be able to talk to you. And I think it's great because I think it's wonderful that people who are newer to the field are doing such amazing things.
Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate that. We've had so much fun with this. And, you know, while we kind of look at it as like a formal platform, I think it's just such a fun thing to do on the side too. So, but yeah, no, of course, we always start out here with the fun question. So, Steve, I'm going to have you answer first. But what is your favorite decade of music and why?
Oh, man. Okay. I would say the 1970s.
Oh.
Because it had such a variety of everything from the end of the British invasion, classic rock, disco, nice. Which you got to like disco. And if people say they don't like the disco, they're lying. But it also had punk, and then it ended in new wave. So it had a big mix across the whole thing.
Nice, nice. Yeah, that's a good mix of things. What about you, Holly? What's your favorite decade?
Okay, so I like the early 2000s, a classic, but I kind of am starting to like the 80s.
Ah, okay.
So, yep, I've listened to that more often lately, so I like it.
Yeah, I feel you on that. Yeah, I like the 80s a lot, too. My dad is, the biggest fan. We share the same Apple Music account, and he has this, extremely long playlist of just only 80s songs, so I hear a lot of that from him. But honestly, I'd have to say my favorite decade is probably the 2010s. I'm not gonna lie, that's when there's One Direction, Taylor Swift, my favorite. So I think I gotta go with 2010s. But I don't know, there's so much good music, that's hard. So I'm glad we don't actually have to pick only one of them.
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. So moving on to our next question. So Steve, I mean, I just want to hear, obviously you can't take us through everything, but I want to hear more about your career journey. Did you know you wanted to go into HR and become this kind of figure, this speaker, this author? Can you kind of give us some more details into that?
Sure. I never anticipated being this figure or whatever that's supposed to be. Because, boy, if you did that, you know what I'm going to be? I'm going to be well-known in HR. No, I had no idea. I was going into chemical engineering when I first came out of high school, and chemistry after that because I failed chemical engineering. Yeah. And then I started failing chemistry rapidly. And what I found out is my mom talked to me one time, and it was really hard. I was the valedictorian of my high school. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't understand why I was failing because I thought I could do school and things like that. But my mother is one of the most amazing people on the planet. And she said, you know, you do everything around people. Why don't you pick a field where you can work with people? So I switched my major to communications. And all of a sudden, all my grades came back. I got more involved. I started hitting my groove. And then when I was a senior at Ohio University, I took a class on interviewing, and at the interviewing class, they said, who should interview who? And the class voted that I should interview myself.
Oh.
And I went, there's a sign. So I started out and was fortunate to get a job. It's much different getting a job now. I think it's, I know it's still difficult, but there's more access. You can look globally if you want to. And when I came out of school, that was very difficult to do, and things were very manual. So I landed a job and I didn't really know what HR was. I was a recruiter. Mm-hmm. And I was in the recruiting space about 18 months, and I'm like, I need to get out of this because I knew there was more to HR. Mm-hmm. But I worked for Procter & Gamble, great company, by the way, just not for me. And I didn't realize back then what I do now about how powerful culture is.
Yeah.
But I just felt like I didn't fit at all. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to be with people, and their definition of employee relations, honestly, was in the legal department, which scared me. I'm like, why? My goodness. So in order to deal with people, you're worried about them suing you. They go, yeah, okay. I need to find a different place. Mm-hmm. So I went to a small entrepreneurial place and I got to spread my wings and do all kinds of stuff. And that's when I started getting involved outside of HR in my company, because I was a department of one for the majority of my career. Okay. I've always wanted to speak. I've been a speaker since high school in some form or fashion. Mm-hmm. But again, I think you can say, look at me, listen to me. And people go, no, what do you have to say? But once I started locally, I had a chance to do well. And then I spoke a few times at the Ohio State HR conference. Okay. And things started picking up. And then I am a crazy extrovert, probably the most extroverted person you will ever meet. And so the more people I could get in front of, the more I could talk positively about the field I loved. Mm-hmm. And then social media came along, and now you could talk to more people. And then my sister-in-law got me a blog domain, and she says, mm-hmm. you need to do this and share what you're thinking. And then that opened up more doors. And now, honestly, I mean, here I am talking on a podcast. That's just, this is wild to me.
Yeah. It's crazy how it started from chemical engineering, not doing the best of it, which I feel like is a lot of people's stories, like everybody just like failing chemistry and then changing their major and everything. So that's definitely similar to a lot that we've heard. Even on our past podcast, people will be like, I went to school for French, or like, who was someone, it was merchandising, like just not HR, whereas it's different for Holly and I. Like, we knew we wanted to be in our HR. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Again, we really didn't know that much about HR, at least speaking for myself. I just knew, our story's kind of similar, Steve, because my mom was like, you like helping people, go into HR or something like that. Mm-hmm. So that's the only thing I knew. And then I kind of, you know, built it up a bit by all my classes and internships and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to see the similarities, but also the differences between kind of our generations and how HR mm-hmm. has changed. Culture and everything you're saying is definitely a huge part of HR, and it's something that Holly and I really enjoy a lot.
Yes. Yeah, in the beginning of my job here, I've really enjoyed getting to get a better understanding of the culture and really how to enhance that. So I really liked that part. But Steve, have you been on a podcast before? You had mentioned it was you were speaking on a couple different things, but I didn't know.
Oh, gosh, I've been on several.
Okay, yeah, okay.
In fact, for fun, there was a radio show here in Cincinnati. And a friend of mine invited me to come and be a guest on his radio show on public radio. And whenever he went out of town, I got to host the HR show. So it was awesome. And it was so popular that it's gone.
Oh, it's gone. Like the show as a whole, or just the HR?
The show. He was a great guy. It didn't, you know, we were at 7 in the morning on Saturdays. Mm-hmm. Not a great time slot.
No, I don't think anyone's waking up too early on Saturdays. Right. It's 7 a.m. for that. But
okay, so another question going off of this. So I know we were talking about different things that you've spoken at and were able to touch on. But as far as writing a book, I know Sydney and I have talked about this before. Mm-hmm. And just to let everyone know, Steve had sent a copy of his book. So thank you so much, because we both started on it. And I'm curious, because that has been an interest of mine for a while, never taken any action on that. But mm-hmm. I'm just curious, like, what was the process of writing a book? I just for myself and everyone else, too, I'm sure Sydney as well.
I think there were a couple things. After speaking for several years, I had people come up after sessions and they go, boy, we really like your ideas. You should write them down in a book. And I'm like, cool. And you just think, like, that's very nice of you to say, but come on.
Yeah, like how?
Then I have a friend, Kathy Fiak, who has written several books. She's an HR person in the Louisville, Kentucky area. Okay. And she actually wrote a book called How to Write a Book.
Oh.
And so I read
it.
I read it and I went, okay. And it had things like, you should sit down and write for an hour every night. You should make sure to never use too many adverbs or adjectives because that's not how people read. And all I read really made me anxious because I thought it would be better to write something that was conversational in nature so that when people read it, they could hopefully say, I see myself in this. I understand that story. So I went to a local restaurant near our work where I usually go. I was the only person that ever went there. It's kind of this little dive bar. And Donna, who's the server there, who's amazing, would see me come in and she'd get my order ready. And then she says, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm going to try and write a book. And she says, of course you are. That was encouraging. But I thought if I could write a chapter, I would do it. Mm-hmm. So I sat down, took about an hour and a half, wrote a chapter, and I went, I think I can do this. And then things started flowing pretty rapidly. But the first book took a year and a half to do. Mm-hmm. The second book I wrote in a month and a half.
Wow.
Because I just felt the flow. I knew where to go. The thing that's really interesting, if you guys are considering doing this, is it needs to be your voice. Because it's easier to speak from your experience than it is from a bunch of theory and data and statistics. Now, I understand there are people that do this very well. And they have these huge staffs that look up research. And I value those types of books. Mm-hmm. It's not who I am. Mm-hmm. So I wanted something that would hopefully strike a chord and encourage people in the field. In fact, oddly enough, as surreal as being this quote figure that I am, which I think is hilarious. I got a note from a young lady who's an HR professional in Cape Town, South Africa yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Who said, I read your book, HR on Purpose. Thanks for doing this. And I went, aww. What? You know, and 2 months ago, I got a note from a person in Ghana, in Pakistan, in New Zealand. I mean, to have the ability to share positive pieces about our field, it's been really wonderful.
So I just have to say, just from the right at the beginning of even chapter one, I can say that it sounds like you're like having a conversation when reading the book. Like it's very easy to read. I just noticed that right away. So I thought that was so cool. It was an easy read, and I think it's just going to be really useful as, you know, day-to-day here in the HR life, in the beginning career. So I just wanted to put that little note.
Well, I think that's really wonderful. And what's nice, especially since you two are newer in the field, I want you to look at HR positively and differently.
Yeah.
Not that it's negative, but there are too many people to get beat down by it instead of saying, man, this is awesome. And I can do all this cool stuff. So I've listened to you guys before and I know you. So I know you're going to change the world. And I can't wait to see it.
Well, we really appreciate that. Thank you so much. And yeah, it really is like a fun book to read. And that actually goes into our next question. So I mean, both your books and like the blogs that you post on LinkedIn, just kind of everything I've seen, you relate HR to everyday life situations. I think of this one that you posted on LinkedIn maybe a year or two ago, and you connected HR to Hamilton, and I love Hamilton. And I was like, how? How did he connect both of these? So that's my favorite blog of yours. But like, how do you approach these things? Like, how do you find HR in these everyday life situations? I think it's kind of a really good skill that you have, and I'm really intrigued by it.
That is the first time anybody's asked me that. I think that's fascinating. I see HR in everything, and I know that sounds very odd, but since I think HR is 100% driven by people, not not the H in HR or that kind of stuff, but really the just people, you know, everything about them, the good, the bad, the messy, the wonderful, it's just everywhere. So when you hear things like, I'm not going to miss my shot out of Hamilton, you go, how many people are like that in the workplace? Mm-hmm. How many people feel they have missed their shot? How many people want to move ahead and they don't know how to? And so you can tie it to things and make it more tangible for people instead of theory. Mm-hmm. People relate to stories, always have. It's not new. It's just that people don't do it well. When you give people just facts, the facts aren't wrong, but a story wraps it all together. So I just see it. I can be in the supermarket. You're both on the HR net, and I mm-hmm. write a song. Today I did Keeping the Faith by Billy Joel.
Nice.
not from your favorite music decades. However,
no. You have to do a One Direction song next time.
I will.
Me.
I will do a One Direction song for you.
Oh my
I
gosh.
Will.
I would love that.
But what's funny is, you know, I'll listen to it and go, oh my gosh, there's a song. He was making fun of the 1950s or, you know, trying to replicate the 1950s. Generations in the workplace are a problem. I need to write a song about that. It's just how my head works.
That is very... good.
No, I just want to say that the whole song idea, like, can you just talk about it for 1 second? Because I think that is so fun.
You guys, I love that you're young. I really do. But too many people have just been worn down every day. Mm-hmm. And we don't have nearly the fun that we should in life mm-hmm. or at work. So my thing is, if I can have a song and put words about HR and it just makes you giggle a little bit mm-hmm. and smile, then maybe that's the one break you needed that day. I've had people write me for years and say, I read the song, don't know what the rest of the newsletter said, but man, I love the song. Mm-hmm. And just the idea of making someone's day brighter has always been something that I want to do.
I love that. And I think that's even, I mean, it was always a good thing to do, but I think now, especially during the pandemic, when like you're not having as much like in-person communication or, you know, fostering those relationships, that again, like you said, having that little break in your day and that little burst of happiness can mean so much to someone. So I think mm-hmm. that's so cool. Yeah. And I kind of want to, you know, think about that moving forward, how I can do that in like my future roles. And I think Holly can agree too. Holly, you should, I keep thinking about Holly, you should tell your story about why you had to wake up this morning at 4:30. I think it's really funny and Steve would enjoy it.
Steve, oh my gosh. Okay. So I arrived, I'm still here. I arrived to work this morning at 4:30. And like you said, HR can be really fun. And this was a fun day because we had an Easter egg hunt. So we had to have the eggs out before the first shift started. So, again, like you said, like there can be fun days. And even if it's just a little thing such as finding an egg and getting a little prize with it, like it can make your day so much better. So
that's so cool.
Yeah, we had a little hunt. We had some lunch delivered. So it was a good day.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. But yeah, just little things like that, honestly, just go a long way with the employees here. And it really can create a really fun and easygoing environment. So it was really fun. But, you know, as we're talking about the different things, such as writing the songs and creating the newsletters, like there's so many ways to connect with different HR people, whether that's like a formal newsletter or LinkedIn post, or again, like a podcast or a song. How can people get involved in this HR community?
I think they need to take the steps that you are and be more intentional, because it's easy to get consumed in our day-to-day lives. And we do. And it's not a right or wrong or an either or. However, the bigger network you have of quality connections, not just number of mm-hmm. people, but the better connections you have, the more resources you have at your fingertips. We've taught people networking the wrong way. We've taught them that networking is about getting a job, and it helps. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. But having a network is having people that you met at school, talking to them about a book, and all of a sudden you're on their podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, we don't see the connections that are right in front of us. Just like you asked, how do I see HR and everything? I see every person as a potential connection, if they choose to be. And some people can do that where they have a close-knit set of people, and I respect that. And there's others that have a huge capacity. So my thing is, you have to be intentional and be visible and be consistent. Those three things, and you can make your community as much as you want it to be in order for it to be effective for you personally and professionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, on some of our podcast episodes, like, I preach this so much, like, networking is so important. I work for my school's career services, and I tell students this all the time. I don't think they believe me. And honestly, I don't think I believed that myself until maybe, I mean, I always did like networking, you know, but I wasn't super intentional about it. But I think it's ever since we started this podcast has really been a great opportunity for Holly and I, and like has opened our eyes to all these networking opportunities out there. Like even the HR, like social hour Twitter chat, I've been wanting to join that. I need to do that. I watched the tweets on Twitter, I guess, and saw just all these people conversing. And even though maybe I can't put my two cents in for everything, you know, I can still learn from what people are saying. So that's something that people should join too if they're interested, and I can link that. But I think that's kind of like a fun, informal, you know, way to do it. You get a drink. If you're over 21, I have to say that. If you're 21, you get a drink, and then you go on Twitter and talk to all these cool HR professionals, you know, from literally around the world. I saw someone and they were like, I woke up at like 4:30, like Holly did, to join, you know, this HR social hour, which I thought was so cool. So really just try to get involved in any way you can, whether it's joining, you know, a SHRM chapter, HRA at IU, or just going to an event or doing a Twitter chat. Just can't reiterate it enough. And it's so fun too, just getting to meet all these HR professionals. I mean, they're just all, I've never met one bad HR professional. They're all so nice. So definitely an easy networking, like industry, I would say. But yeah, moving along to our last question. I feel like there's this kind of, this theme of leadership that we see with you, Steve, whether it's, obviously in your role as chief people officer, but also just kind of a leader in the HR community and being very involved. So could you talk about how or what being a leader means to you? And then like, what are some important aspects of leading others?
You guys have such good questions.
That's all Holly. Good job, Holly.
I think leadership is something that people should be more comfortable with, regardless of their role. So you can lead from where you are. Again, not new. It's just that people don't do it.
Yeah.
Leading, to me, is opening the doors for others, giving people direction, being supportive, showing them empathy, acknowledging that they're there and thanking them for what they do. Just bringing the human aspect to all we do, regardless of being in HR or not. And what's interesting is when I find people that use terms like, I'm a leader and I'm a guru and I'm a this and I'm a that and I'm an expert, I just can see their behavior. And if I see their behavior and I don't see them being visible, or they only talk about themselves, or, you know, there's never a lot of depth to them. They can call themselves whatever they want, but I don't see them as leading. Mm-hmm. I think leaders are others focused, because if I can help others succeed, they will help me succeed. But if I have to be the one who has to be in charge or control and stuff like that, that's not leading. That's just being rough, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And leaders, there's a great guy, Rick Warren, wrote a church, The Purpose-Driven Life and The Purpose-Driven Church. Mm-hmm. And he wrote, if you're a leader, look over your shoulder. If no one's following you, guess what? And I went, oh, wow, that's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is, if people rally around you for good reasons, then someone could say, when I think of a leader, your name should come up. But if you say self-proclaim yourself as a leader, I think it's shallow.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's really interesting. I think that's a different perspective than I have heard before. So I think that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And just really looking at how you really treat people and how you lead goes further than all the different titles you can have. So yes. I think that I really think that's great. And I know throughout the show, we have been saying some things that you are connected with, but if someone would like to connect with you, where can they reach you at?
The two best places to connect with me are on LinkedIn, mm-hmm. and then on Twitter at S Brown HR, an E on the end of Brown. Mm-hmm. The thing you need to know, and you two know this, if you connect with me, it's on. I'm not going to connect and go, oh, hey, I know Holly and Sydney. I mean, I'm going to know you because I want to make sure that we're really connected. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I welcome anybody that listens to your show to reach out. Would be love to connect because if you're in the field or if you're just a great person, it'd be great to do that.
Awesome. Amazing. Well, Steve, I know that we, I mean, it might sound repetitive here that, you know, we really thank you for your time, but seriously, with, you know, all the things that you're doing and just with every guest we have on here, just the time that they take during dinner to speak to us for 30 minutes, after a long day at work, we're just so thankful. Mm-hmm. And we really appreciate your time. And so, we really appreciate all the things that we have touched on and, all of your insight. And then we'll go ahead and link your books as well to this episode. We'll post this again on our LinkedIn here in a couple weeks, and we'll be sure to tag you. So look out for that. But seriously, we can't say it enough. We appreciate your time and this connection, and we really hope that we can stay in touch for future opportunities.
Yeah. Sounds wonderful. You guys are wonderful. Awesome. I mean that. I know it sounds like we've been, hey, let's congratulate each other the entire half hour. But that's okay.
Yes.
That's okay.
Yes. You know, I'm fine with
you're that. You're making an impact, and never forget that.
Thank you. No, we appreciate it. And again, this has been HR Sessions with Holly
and Sydney Evans.